Oh, Xander turned it off. I apologize about that. So separate from my lesson this morning, I was sitting here just now thinking about my lesson, a memorial to the soldiers of God. I'm going to be speaking of several biblical characters who we know that were soldiers of God and the example they can give. But I was sitting there thinking about this topic, and I looked at what I was wearing. This is a suit that I was given 366 days ago, and I wore 365 days ago. Unplanned, I just was sitting there and realized this is what I was wearing the day that I was a pallbearer for my Papa Dewey. So while that's not the focus of this sermon today, I would like us to just take a moment to recognize all those, not just in my family, but this congregation. For the past few years, we seems like we were getting hit pretty hard. So please just, at this time, I'm going to go to God, say a quick prayer for those that we've lost in this congregation over the past few years. Dear God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, the Great I Am, thank you for all those great Christian examples that we've had here at this congregation. Thank you for all those that have shown us the way to you. Thank you for all those that have been an example to us and a light in our lives. Thank you for the blessings that we had and the time that we had with them while they were here. And thank you for them and the lives that they had. And thank you now for the much better time that they have now. Please be with us, God, as even though we understand that those are in a better place, that we still yearn for them and we miss the time that we had with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone who I'll talk about a little bit later, he said in the Bible, to live is for Christ and to die is gain. So let's remember that about those that we've lost. So starting out this morning, reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And we see throughout the Bible many men that God chose, you will be one of my soldiers. And we're going to talk about those men today. We're going to talk about the things that we can learn from them as we are now today soldiers of God. Starting with a preview, the people that we'll be talking about this morning, starting with Abraham, then moving on to talk about Caleb and Joshua, then talking of Peter, and then I've actually switched these last two. We'll be talking about Jesus and then be talking about Paul, because I believe what I have to say for Paul is a very good wrap-up conclusion of the lesson. Abraham, he was a soldier that was ready to do God's work. We read in Genesis, Abraham was told, take yourself, your wife, take your nephew, and get out of this land. God didn't say, have a few good years here and get out of this land. God said, go, Abraham. And what did Abraham do? He got up and he went out of that country. He went from the familiar that he had, that home where he had lived his whole life. Because we understand, even at this point, Abraham was not a young man. We understand Abraham had a lot more life to live, but he was not at this point a young man. He had lived and he had known this place, but he understood God has a mission for me. And as the soldier, I have to follow my orders. So he went out of that country. And what did he do whenever he was out of that country? He worshiped God. He set up immediately an altar and thank God for all the blessings that he had. We see that even though he did not always, and several of these men, I'm going to mention this because they were, of course, men, except for Jesus, of course. Jesus, he was always faithful to God, but these other men, we understand that they were soldiers. They were great soldiers for God, but they were not always that way. And we understand Abraham, he did struggle at some points with certain things, but he had faith in God's promises. We see, even in an instance, he got up and immediately went to save his brother Lot. He didn't wait. He didn't say, oh, well, they're over in Farmville, so maybe they'll take care of it themselves. He got up, he saw that his brother needed help, and it says in Genesis 14, verse 14, and when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. He immediately got up whenever he saw that his brother needed help, and he went, and he gave his brother the help that he needed. As soldiers of God today, we understand, maybe not in the physical sense, of course, if a brother or sister needs the help, we should give them the physical help that they need. But let's take this in the godly sense. If your brother or sister has a need spiritually, we need to be ready and willing to, as soon as we know that they have a need, go to them and help them, no matter what. Because we understand here, Lot had his life to lose. But if we don't help our brothers and sisters today, they have their soul to lose. Moving forward, speaking of Caleb and Joshua, they were spies going into the land of Canaan, and they were faithful spies. Because we see that there were 12 spies all sent into that land of milk and honey. And they came back and they said, oh, this land is great. It has the milk we were promised. It has the honey we were promised. Everything is wonderful, but we can't go into it. Those men in that country are too powerful. 10 of those 12 spies came back and said that. But Caleb and Joshua, they said no. They were faithful. They said, look, we went into the land. We have reports for you. But no matter what our reports say, we know that we can conquer this. We know, because God told us that we could conquer this. Caleb said in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And even then, the other 10 spies didn't really like what he had to say. But Caleb knew, and you can tell by this statement, that he said, hey, God told us that this land is ours. God told us to go into this land. And God will deliver this land to us. So we need to be ready and capable soldiers, understanding and having the faith in God to understand, oh, well, there's so much evil in this world, and there's so many things that can go wrong. Maybe I'll lose some friends. Maybe I'll lose a job. In some places in the world today, maybe you'll lose more than that. But we need to be faithful and understand what our duty is, and understand that God is on our side, and we need to perform that duty faithfully without fear, because God has commanded us to do that thing, and God will keep his promise to us. Talking about Peter, a loyal lieutenant, to say, of Christ. And we see that Peter, whenever he started out, he wasn't the wisest. He wasn't the mightiest man. He was a humble fisherman, uneducated. He was just living his life. And then his brother Andrew came to him and said, hey, there's this man named Jesus, and he is the way. So Peter went to Jesus, and through following Jesus, he went from being the uneducated man that he was and the fearful man that he was, as we can see in many places throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospels, where we see that even walking on water with Christ, he was afraid and he almost fell into that water. And then we see on the night of Christ's execution on that cross that Peter was afraid of what they would do to him and he denied knowing Christ. But we see that he overcame those things through the word, and he became well-versed, he became courageous, and he was faithful. And he took that faith, he took that knowledge that he had, and we can see throughout Acts him doing these great works and then preaching to the 3,000, establishing churches, and even preaching to the Gentiles who had previously not heard the word until he preached to Cornelius and his family. You can read of those accounts in Acts chapter 3, 8, 10, and 11. Reading from Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 25, "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself am also a man.'" So we see here, I've been talking about how Peter was lowly, but through the word and through following Christ, he was raised up. And he was a mighty man. He was faithful, well-versed, courageous. But here we see something else I would like to point out about Peter and what we need to be as Christian soldiers. We understand one of the sins that kept Moses out of the land of Canaan was that he was boastful. He said, "Shall we fetch you water, ye reprobates?" And we see here, Peter wasn't boastful about this. He said, "Yes, I'm here to preach the word. Yes, I'm here to save your soul. But it's not me to worship. It's not me to thank for worshiping, for preaching unto you and for saving your soul. The only ones you should be worshiping are God and Christ, for they are the ones that are truly saving you." And he understands that he is just a man. He is not to be worshipped. So our example to take as soldiers of God today from Peter is, one, no matter how lowly you are, no matter how doubtful of yourself you are, no matter how fearful you are, that through reading the scripture, through studying, you can be the Christian that you need to be. And then also, we have to understand that as soldiers of God, we need to be humble. We talked about this morning in Bible class. Some people today, they'll get a large congregation and they'll get boastful of their abilities and they'll say, "Oh, how great am I?" And we understand those men are never great. We understand a lot of those men have their downfall. A lot of those men aren't even truly preaching God's word, and they're doing it out of covetousness, and they're doing it out of pride, vainglory, out of greed. So we have to understand, as Christian soldiers, we have to be humble and we have to give God the glory. And we see that Peter stayed with Christ throughout his life, and even after his life, and even after his ascension into heaven, Peter followed and was faithful to him even unto death. And that's the type of faithful Christian soldiers that we need to be prepared to be today. Moving on and talking about Jesus, our great commander, the one that truly saves our soul. We understand that he went and he faced down our two greatest foes here in this life, that being Satan and death itself. We understand Christ went into the wilderness and he was fasting. And Satan came unto him and was tempting him. "Hey, Jesus, just do this. Hey, Jesus, just do this. Oh, you're fasting? You can make bread right now. Oh, you're so lowly. You're treated so poorly here, Christ. Go on down and make them worship you. Oh, well, show them your power. Cast yourself down from the top of the temple, and legions of angels will come to stop you." And we understand Christ, he felt those same urges as we had, but we may not fully grasp the true temptation that he had. We as Christians, you know, if we made a promise to God that we were going to fast, we would have that tinge of hunger that would tempt us to break that promise that we made and to eat that food. Christ had more than that. Christ, one, was fasting far longer than I can imagine any man nowadays fasting. And then secondly, Christ could have given himself anything at any moment. If Christ wanted that bread, he could have had that bread. No matter what Christ wanted, he could have had it right then. And we understand that while he struggled with those temptations as a man, he actually had more temptation than us. Because he not only had to deal with the physical temptations, he had to deal with the temptation to know that whatever he willed could happen in an instant. So we see here that he faced down the greatest tempter that there is, the father of lies, Satan. And all the temptation that Satan could give him, and he had all the power to do anything that he ever wanted, and he still faced down Satan, and he still stood strong in the Word. You can think of him as a commander, the scene out of an action movie, whenever the commander is giving himself for his own soldiers, and he's armed with only two bullets. He has a love of God that led him to faithfulness, and he has the Word of God. And we can see those are the two bullets that we need now today, always. We have to have that love of God, that love of Christ that leads us to faithfulness, and we need the Word of God, which is our armor, which I'll talk about in just a little bit. And then secondly, our other great adversary, death. We understand as mortals, we will die. We all have to face that first death. But Christ faced that first death, and he overcame it. And through Christ, we are able to overcome not the first death, but the second death. We no longer have to fear of going down into hell, because we understand that through Christ's blood, we can be saved if we are faithful soldiers of God. We can be saved through Christ's example. I can't think of a better way for a commander to lead his troops than by example, through him coming down and being that perfect man, living that perfect life, and then overcoming death, defeating our two greatest adversaries, and showing us the way, showing us that path that is possible. We are able to overcome temptation and sin in this life, and we are able to overcome death and have eternal life in heaven if we are faithful. Paul, a warrior poet, I would like to describe him as, because he wrote a lot about spiritual warfare and what we as Christians need to be as soldiers of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So we see here, we as Christian soldiers, we've been prepared. Christ gave us our commands, and now we're at the armory. And what did he give us? He gave us a sword, sharper than any blade imaginable, this Bible, so that we can have what we need to attack sin, to attack sinfulness, and overcome it. And then we also see that he gave us exactly what we needed to defend ourselves too. Reading in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrest not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt up about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we see here Paul saying he's given us everything that a soldier needs. He's given us everything that we need to war against sin, to war against Satan, and to save our souls and to save those souls of the ones around us. He's given us the weapons that we need. He's given us the armor that we need. He's given us everything that we need to be successful. I would also like to point out that while God has given us everything we need, we don't need anything besides this Bible to preach the word and to bring souls to Him and to save our own soul. But I would encourage us to look at other things, to prepare ourselves in other ways. Perhaps grab a javelin of Christian Science. Perhaps grab a... can't think of another weapon off the top of my head. Perhaps grab a glaive of Christian archaeology so that we can fight against those things that men would say about God, that men would say about Christ, calling it fake, calling it mythology. And brothers and sisters, they are hiding themselves. Our enemies aren't always in the open, and that's why all these things are important. Preparing for the last sermon that I preached, I got a book. I can't remember the exact name of the book. I thought it was in my backpack, but it wasn't. I guess it's on my desk. It was called Jesus of History, or Jesus Throughout History, something along those lines. I got it on sale at Books A Million. And in that book, oh man, it was all kinds of great things. It talked about not only archaeology, different evidences. It talked about Christ through history and how Christ fit in through history. It even talked about some things that aren't necessary for our faith but are interesting, like art and how Jesus was depicted throughout the years. And I'm reading this book and I'm like, oh, this is some great information right here. Oh, it has all these good things. Turn to a certain page, and I see an aside talking about the synoptic gospels. And this is an idea that I've never heard of. And what this idea was stating in this book that otherwise had some great information in it about Christ and about how he lived and about how the Bible is true. But right in the middle of it, they hid this aside that said, well, many believe that Matthew wrote the gospel, and the other three, they kind of just copied it down in their own words and added in some stuff. And in this otherwise, this book that had great information about Christ, I was reading error, because they were teaching that only the gospel of Matthew was God-breathed, was given by the mouth of God, and the other three were just men uninspired wrote that down. So why do we have to have all this armor? Why do we have to have all these weapons at our disposal? Because our enemies are not always out in the open. In this otherwise good book, I saw sinfulness, and I saw something that if someone was to read that and they didn't have their loins properly girded, they would fall to a sinful thought, a thought of heresy, that God didn't give us the gospels, that men just simply wrote it down. And we understand that there are other places where they are hiding from us. We understand, I mean, certainly if any of us have been into high school in the past 40 years or so, we see that they will take these things and they'll say, oh yeah, here's all this science, and they'll slip something in there that's patently untrue. I've said it before, and I'll say the story again. I took an art appreciation class. And what were they teaching in that art appreciation class? It wasn't just art. They told us in an art appreciation class, the Egyptians didn't have slaves. The pyramids and everything, they were built by farmers in the off season. And what were they doing in that moment? They were trying to plant seeds of doubt in every student's mind so that we can just rewrite history. Rewrite one of those reasons that we know that the Bible is true, because it talks about real history that happened in Egypt. But they're just going to change what these students think real history is, so that they think whenever they read in the Bible that the slaves, the Hebrew slaves, were building those pyramids. They're going to think, oh, well, the Bible's untrue, because I know that farmers, free farmers, built those pyramids, not the Hebrew slaves. So brother, sister, we need to be the soldiers of God. We need to be like Abraham and be prepared to go out whenever we need to and preach his word to save souls. We need to be like Caleb and Joshua, and we need to be the faithful recon that understand, well, I see this challenge before me, but I know that God is on my side and I can overcome this challenge. We need to be like Peter. And even though right now we might not know anything, no one in this building knows everything there is to know about the Bible, but we will study and we will be faithful and we will humble ourselves and we will become greater Christians. We need to, of course, always follow that example that Jesus set for us and strive to follow his example, to follow his commandments that he has given to us. And we need to be like Paul, some of us. We understand that Paul wasn't a Christian in the beginning. We understand that Paul was one of the worst men that a Christian could see whenever he was Saul. We understand that in that moment, he was about the worst person that you could be. He was executing God's people. He was an enemy to God. But then he heard the truth, and he followed the truth, and he was faithful. And he preached about the spiritual warfare that we need so that we can turn souls that were like his soul, enemies of God, into faithful soldiers of God. So if there's anyone here today that feels like perhaps you haven't been the soldier that you need to, perhaps you need to polish off your breastplate, you need to repair that sword, and you need prayers of the congregation for that. Or maybe you're not a soldier, but you need to be recruited into that army and you need the proper training so that you can then fight against sin. We understand the plan of salvation. We can help you in whatever way you need this morning, brothers and sisters, and those that are not yet faithful. So if you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Jesus is calling, calling, calling. Jesus is calling today. Why should I linger, linger, linger? Should I?